Well, or that was the fox who told
that was the fox I went.
This amateur radio roundtable is brought to you in part by ICOM America.
All right, guys. Hello. It's Tuesday night, and it's time for amateur radio roundtable. Let me turn the echo off here. I'm Tom Medlin, amateur radio roundtable here. You're watching it on W5KUB.com. Also, we are simulcasting our shows every Tuesday night on famous international shortwave station WBCQ out of Monticello, Maine, on 5130 kilohertz. So if you're out there and tune across us on shortwave, you can join us if you have internet. Just go to W5KUB.com and you can join the show there and watch the show. Join us in the chat room. I think we've got a couple things that segments that are still developing tonight, but we have plenty to talk about. We've got our friends from Ham Bitching in here, and Bill's going to be back here to tell us what's going on with our balloon there. So let's just jump real quick right into talking with Jack Gerbs. He is the general chair of Hamvention. Here we go. Hey Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. Good to be here.
Get you in here. There we go. Well, hey man, I'm getting exciting because it is getting close, and you know, We look forward to this every year. I've been coming up here for 38 years. I'm not an old timer like some of you guys.
You've been coming for a while. Me too. I love this thing.
Oh yeah. Well, tell us a little about what's going on. Hey, I saw you had an announcement the other day. Something new you're doing on Sunday this year.
So we can start with that. Okay. After thinking about this quite a bit and getting a lot of input from others, I'd like to take all the credit for everything that's going to be great this year, but I can't take it all. I'm just the guy that kind of has to implement and make things happen. There was several suggestions that Sunday we should open this up to the public. Our theme is mentoring the next generation, and there might be young people out there, adults out there, seniors out there that are interested in what this is all about, as well as the community at large is just interested in what's bringing 30,000 people into this region. So we believe this will be successful. We're opening the doors up on Sunday. Anybody in the community is welcome to come join us and learn more about what we do. And I think this will be a boost for our inside vendors and our flea market folks. Sundays have been a little late, as you know, and I think it's good for the community. I think it's good for all the folks that are trying to sell stuff at Hamvention as well. So I'm excited that announcement went out about a week and a half ago. And it looks like, you can give me some feedback. All the feedback I've seen online on all the chat seem to be very positive. A couple of little naysayers, but much more positive than the negative.
Well, you know, I think it's a great idea. As I saw in your letter, you know, there's a lot of things for sale out there that are electronic, and people that are in the, you know, builders and home brewers and stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there, including computers and computer parts and stuff. So there's plenty going on out there to bring new people in. Now, will you be able to capture in any way, will you be able to capture how many people maybe come in on Sunday to see how effective that was?
Yes, I've alerted the folks on the ticket committee that to be ready. We're going to be handing out tickets. We'll be pulling the price tab off of those tickets. And the only reason we're giving the tickets out is, well, it's a memorabilia piece they can take home, as well as that'll give us a good way to get a head count.
Oh, that's perfect, man. That is perfect. Yeah. You know, this may be, you know, this can be a 50,000.
Capture that. It's going to be
This could be a 50,000 person event this year.
I don't think so, but well, there's a goal.
I don't know. So, you know, we've been webcasting Hamvention now for about, this will be our 18th year, I think. And we've had a lot of fun over the years of doing it. We were outside many years, and then you guys really helped us out, put us inside, and we hope that we bring Hamvention to people around the world that can't come there. So, do you have any new rules or anything coming up this year?
No new rules. We have lots of good things happening that I can share.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of them.
Not a new role, but a continuing role, and there's always someone that has to try to test this role, is we don't allow drones on the property. There may be a few, but they've all been pre-authorized, and they're typically being flown by licensed pilots. So no drones for everybody that's coming out. We also don't allow Segways, and that used to be a problem in the past, but it's gotten better recently. We haven't had as many issues with Segways. Some of the big things we have, big and small. The tents, last year we had a big improvement from the what we call a pole tent, which was a high top, to the clear span. They withstand the weather so much better. This year all the panels on the clear span tents are supposed to be clear, which should really help with lighting inside the tents. We've changed the bus drop-off point, which used to be at the far end of one of the fields at the end of the on-site parking. We're going to have a drop-off point that's going to be walking distance to the main gate. A lot of people did love the kind of hayride trailers that we had, but logistically we had problems and with traffic and the field being tore up and cars getting stuck because of some of the stuff they were doing. So the bus routes will be dropping everybody off within close walking distance to the front gate. That's a big change. We still encourage off-site parking. We don't charge for off-site parking. And we do have a will call. So I like boat anchors. I like tube radios with heavy transformers. And those are a big thing to try to schlep on a bus. And we will have, and we've had in the past years, a will call. So if you park off-site and you're worried about picking up that boat anchor, you can get a pass to go out to your car. Well, the bus will take you back out to your car, and then you can get a pickup pass to drive your car right up to the will call area and pick up your equipment. That's exciting. And the Green County also purchased another 16 acres, which is going to equate to about 400 to 500 more parking spots that will be available on-site. So that's a big thing. And I was up there. They cleared it up. It's not perfect yet, but they're working on it, and I expect it to be fully usable by the time our show is there. The flea market. We had some moisture challenges first year, and we got the grindings on the infield. This year, we've already got another layer of grindings out there, and if more become available before the show, we're going to get another layer as well as try to make the paths a bit wider. So that's actively being worked on. The food trucks have always been a big win for us. It was kind of unbelievable, but the number one most positive comment for year number one and year number two has been the variety of the food. People have really loved that.
It's been a great improvement over the Hera Arena, let me tell you. Hey, some people come just for the food.
Now?
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. Harry didn't give us much of a bar to really. They set the bar pretty low, but I think we far exceeded all expectations. That was when Ron decided to go with food trucks, working with the Ag Society. That was a great move by Ron.
Well, let me ask you a question about this new 16 acres of parking. I didn't observe the parking last year on site. Was it full last year, or
was it pretty full?
It was full. Full.
We've got a parking committee that they stay busy. They also control the off-site parking. I don't know what the head count was. The challenge with the fields, and the backfield may be better, is if we do get some bad weather, it does create a logistics issue trying to get everyone pulled out.
Yeah.
If that happens.
Yeah. There's a question here about construction on Bellefontaine. Is there still...
Bellefontaine Road is in Huber Heights, which is where our radio club station is.
Uh-huh.
And there is construction. on, I want to say it's Chambersburg Road, but there's a street, there's a couple of other ways. So if you're in town and you want to visit the clubhouse, you may not be able to get there the way you normally got there. Some of those roads, one of those roads is closed, but there's a couple, it's no more than a 5-minute detour to get around it.
So the new parking, is it adjacent to the old parking? I mean, you just expanded it, or is it in a different area?
There was some privately held property that the county purchased that is adjacent to the back end of the parking lot we had, where the bus shuttles were dropping people off the last 2 years in the back area before we moved it to the front the last day. That whole field is ours now. Well, it's the county's, but they've prepared it, and it's usable for parking.
Well, that's great. Hey, I've got your website up. Let's let everybody again know about your website, and you can find anything on your website. But there it is, right there. It's hamvention.org, and just take a look at it. And I'm trying to get your lower third off. I'm trying to find. There we go. There we go. So you got everything on here, from tickets to information about, you know, the flea market area, the inside vendors, everything's on here, right?
Parking information is been, the lots have been finalized, and the bus routes have been finalized. I'm not sure if it has been released to the website yet, but any day the final parking information will be put out on the website.
Okay. What else can you tell us? Anything new happening this year, or have you got some secrets you're not able to tell us yet?
Well, we have one secret that I can't announce, but I'm dying to announce, and it's going to be pretty darn significant.
Well, give us
the
a hint.
The big thing that's new that is not a secret is the AWRL convention is going to be held simultaneous with our event. So that's also exciting. We're expecting that to pull in a few more people that want to come for the convention.
Okay, so man, we're like 20 something days out, I guess. We're really excited about coming up there, and as I mentioned earlier to you, let me throw this up there, guys. We got this year we're calling it the Ultimate Live Hamvention Marathon, more than 50 hours live streaming here, thousands in prizes to our viewers. It's going to be a great show this year. Make it if you can, but for you guys that, you know, you guys out there don't have any money, or you're too young to travel, you just can't make it, tune in here and be a part of it. And we hope that Jack and Michael and others will come by and say hello every now and then. In fact, that's one thing we kind of miss. I know you guys are very busy all the time, but we'd love to have you guys come by each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and take 5 minutes and just introduce yourself and talk about Hamvention 2019.
I will put that on my list. 5 minutes you've got, Tom.
Okay.
You do so much good stuff for us.
Well, and I know how busy everything gets. In fact, we can't even find 5 minutes when we're there the whole weekend. So I know how it gets. It's it's nonstop. Okay.
It's very busy. So I'd also like to mention, anything that goes good is going to be, I don't deserve the credit for, because of all the volunteers we have. I will take the blame for anything that doesn't go well, but I'm not expecting anything not to go well. About 5 weeks ago, I started losing a lot of sleep, and about 2 weeks of just an intense amount of work. And the last couple of days, I've been sleeping okay. So actually, last 2 weeks, I've been sleeping okay, which is, I'm a little surprised.
Well,
very excited. What I want to mention is there are many, many volunteers that work very hard to make this happen. Nobody gets paid anything for volunteering. We don't get reimbursement for our mileage to go to the show and what we do. So it's really important that if someone goes out of their way to help you, or you see something nice happening, go up to one of the volunteers and just say thank you. It goes a long, long way. And again, it's just a tremendous amount of work. And the reason we do it is because we love it. And for those guys to get some positive feedback is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and people should do that. Let me also say, I know again this year, you got the same people working as like the chair of inside exhibits, outside exhibits, and so forth. I believe that was rotated several years back, but the last few years, you've kind of stayed with the people that have kind of figured this thing out. And that's worked out very well, I think, for you guys. It's been very smooth.
Yeah, experience counts. And we try not to rotate, but life gets in the way. We had another gentleman doing inside exhibits that was just incredibly awesome. Two young boys and scouting and bicycle, just a lot of activities that he just had to take some time off. I'm hoping, well, I'm sure he's going to be back because he loves it as much as I do and everyone else.
All right. Hey, will there be more shaded seating area for lunch and resting?
There were some plans to make that happen. I've been dealing with bigger things, so I'm not sure where that is right now, but I know that it was one of the items on the list. I just don't know if we got to it this year, but there were people working on it.
Well, you know, it can get very hot there.
Yes, it can.
But it can also get very cold there, so, you know.
Oh, speaking of hot, and good point. Thank you.
Yeah.
The buildings, I haven't seen them, but I've been told that inside the main buildings that there have been some big-ass fans installed to help get air better, much, much better air movement.
I've seen pictures of those fans. They got 16-foot blades on them.
I've seen them in action. They're pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I've seen them in production plants. I've seen them in hangars.
Well, that would definitely be great to have, and I'm sure those new fans won't make noise. They'll probably move the air around.
Right. That's the plan. We're going to test it.
And so that'll be great. Just hopefully we don't have an earthquake and one of them fall off and chop somebody up, because 16 foot, man. But anyway, hey, this is great. You guys start planning this almost immediately after the last one's over, don't you?
Technically, the first meeting starts in August for the entire committee, but a few of us take maybe a couple weeks off, and then we're back at it.
Yeah. You know, Jack, a bunch of us would come up here from Memphis area, and we had our own, you know, special group, and man, we loved it, and we really liked it, and we planned hard, and you know, 3 or 4 months before, you know, we're making a list and checking it twice and getting everything ready 3 months before, and then I can remember on Sundays when it's over and we're driving home, we're so disappointed that it's over, and we're already making plans and hoping it's next year that quick.
It's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And we love it. All of you. You've got the passion.
Oh yeah. Well, Jack, we're going to keep talking about this every week. Well, there's only a few more weeks between now and then, but we're going to be talking about it on our trip up. As you know, we webcast our 10-hour drive up. We're going to be on HF. We're going to be on DMR. We're going to be streaming live. We hope to generate thousands of people involved with us on our trip up there, and maybe some that just aren't aware.
So, and that's why we're opening up on Sunday, just trying to get anybody that's the least bit interested to come out and see what we're about, and maybe it'll click and it'll be great. So that's the news from Dayton.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you coming in tonight and talking to us, and if you guys have any other announcements or you want me to say anything specific on the next show next week or the week after, let me know. I know you've got this surprise you're talking about. When you're able to let it out, tell me. I'll pass it along.
You got it.
And we really appreciate it. And we've got Bill Brown on here with us tonight. He's coming up next, and he's going to talk about our high-altitude balloon. I know Bill launches the balloon there every Saturday, I think, at Hamvention.
Okay, well, all right. Thank you for the opportunity to share what's going on, and thanks for all you do to help Amateur Radio and Hamvention.
Well, thank you, Jack.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, and we'll be seeing you soon, okay?
Okay, 73.
All right, 73 to you. All right, so let's see how I can do this here. I'm going to try something. Jack, you can stand as long as you want, or you can sign out. There you go. Okay, hey, we got Bill on here. So we've got Bill in here. Bill, now you've been out of town working with NASA, I think down in New Orleans or somewhere for the last couple of weeks, and I've missed you, man. I've been trying to find that balloon we launched, and I haven't found it yet, but there could be still hope. But then again, it's starting to look kind of bad. Tell me about it, man.
There could be hope. The long-range prediction showed it traveling across Africa, Saudi Arabia, and across India, all of which there are really no APRS ground stations at all, except for my friend Jose, A75GE, who lives in Qatar, and he was listening for it. Unfortunately, the prediction looks like it went past there during the nighttime hours, so he wasn't able to hear it.
Yeah. So here's one, and I've got the other maps that you sent me today too, but for people that are not following our balloon, guys, if you go to go on our website here, click on balloon at the top menu, and you can click on another button that will track these balloons. Now, right now, this balloon is kind of lost, but you can see predictions there. And this is kind of neat, Bill. Tell me a little about it. This is kind of like hurricane predictions. This is wind streams, right?
It's a program called HiSplit that NOAA offers to researchers and the public to plot winds aloft for things like volcanoes or drifting particles like that. But it also is a great application for long-duration balloon prediction. And in fact, a lot of the people who do sport ballooning, and they actually use helium balloons and do multi-day flights, they will use this website for their flight predictions. It's fairly accurate. As you can see right now, we should be over east between India and Burma. And hopefully a little bit later tonight, it may actually show up just north of Hong Kong. As soon as it becomes daylight in that region in a couple of hours. So I'm hoping and crossing my fingers that it actually shows up in southern China tonight or tomorrow.
Now, are there a lot of tracking stations in China? Are these boxes?
There actually are, and in fact, there are quite a few in Thailand. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, we're crossing over Thailand and a little north of where all the activity is. Yeah. But if you look on that map down below, you'll see a bunch of APRS stations there in Thailand, uh-huh. between Burma and Vietnam and south of Laos. And you'll see over towards Hong Kong, there's quite a few stations too. So
we're not giving up hope.
In China, we usually get some good reception.
We're not giving up hope yet. Now, Bill, you know, when we tracked this first part of our trip, it looked like it was only moving about 30 miles an hour the entire distance. It was at 29,000 feet, but 30 miles an hour. So
really, it varies.
Yeah. So nothing else to go on. If I calculate 30 miles an hour times the number of hours it's been in the dark, I mean, it's still, with that calculation, it still hadn't made it to India yet, you know? Now, I'm wrong.
It depends on where the jet stream is and the winds aloft at that altitude, which is roughly 29,000 feet. Okay. To 30,000 feet is where it's hanging out right now. And so the winds can vary depending on the time of year between, sometimes you can get stuck in a little vortex and go around in circles for a few days. I saw one balloon the other day that was stuck in the Pacific going around circles for about 3 days or just northeast of Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
So you'll get into these little vortexes, and that might have been what has happened to us. We may be stuck in one of those vortexes, which is the latest a day or two or three. By the way, as a Dayton addendum to follow on with your presentation about the Dayton Hamvention, I've been looking at their very fine website, hamvention.org. And the forum schedule is up. Not all of it is up, but the very first link, you'll get a PDF file showing all the great forums that are going to happen at the Dayton Hamvention this year. And if any of you have ever not gone to one of the forums while at the Hamvention, it's real great to just take a little break, sit back and learn something about a new aspect of ham radio or learn about what's new in your field of interest, because they have a great lineup of forum speakers this year. And in fact, if you're interested in the high altitude ballooning, our BalloonSat forum will be from noon on Friday of the Hamvention until 1:30. We have an hour and a half, and we're going to be in forum room 5, which I believe is a tent right next to one of the main buildings, which is a great place to be if it's starting to rain. I got a big crowd last year when it started to rain. Everybody took cover in my tent, so I had a full house.
We will try, and I've got a couple people with me. We will try to, some of these things you mentioned, to get in and get video of it, and then bring it back to the booth, and then we can put it on. You know, it might be, you know, an hour delayed, but it'll still cover the things that you're talking about in the forums there. So Bill, for the people following this balloon, let me get it here. For the people following, and why this is not working.
Let me make one more mention about after the BalloonSat forum. We're going to be talking about how to build a very complicated high-altitude balloon system with ATV and trackers and a crossband repeater. And we're going to be talking about, of course, these long-duration PICO balloons around the world. And we're also going to talk about the funds and joy of building a mobile tracking station to go out and chase and recover latex weather balloons, and what it takes to get a fully loaded recovery and chase vehicle. So that's on the topic for this year at the BalloonSat Forum. And right after the forum, if weather permits, we're going to do a PICO balloon race with 3 balloons, just like the one we flew for you earlier.
Yeah.
And we're going to launch that near the food court, either right after the BalloonSat Forum, which will probably be about 2 o'clock, or if the weather's bad, we'll shoot for about noon or 1 on Saturday, also from the food court area.
Well, that's going to be just right outside. That's going to be just right outside of where our booth is, right there at the door. So everybody gets busy, just yell at us, and we're going to try to get that. Maybe we'll try to get it live, or at least get it on the show, your balloon race there.
Now, if you zoom in on that map you're showing right now of the flight path of the balloon, of your balloon that we launched, I want to show you something really interesting. It was last received by a digipeater in the Dominican Republic by Hotel Italy 8 kilowatt, HI8K. But you see that blue rain circle?
Yeah.
That's the longest distance that the balloon can see visually. And you see the Dominican Republic is quite a bit outside of that rain circle.
Yep.
It turns out that the digipeater that received it is on a 5,000-foot mountain and has a gain antenna. We were able to get reception of your balloon almost down to South America. You notice just north of Aruba, Curacao, and Caracas, Venezuela. So it took a nice Caribbean tour, and the prediction showed it probably went out past St. Lucia and Barbados on its way to Africa. So I really wish I could go along on that tour.
So So showing here, and for people that go to the tracking page, if you look at this little button here, high split, if you click that button, that will give you the prediction, I guess, in the wind speed and so forth. But so right now, so our luck was we lost contact here below Dominican Republic. We went all, I guess, and there's no APRs tracking here across Africa.
Well, there actually is in Barbados and Grenada and that area, but we went over that area during nighttime.
Yeah, and then of course over Africa, there's nothing there.
Right.
And then the prediction shows it coming on over to coming on over after Africa and making a turn down toward India.
Right, and right in that area above Muscat, Oman, is Qatar, and I did have A75GE, which is the only APRS eye gate in that whole region of the Middle East.
Uh-huh.
It's operated by Jose, and it's A75GE, and he had his APRS eye gate up and running in the country of Qatar, which is just to the east of Saudi Arabia and to the north of Oman.
And if we went over at night, we would have no transmission. So we're hoping there's not much of anything through India, no tracking. So
there is in New Delhi, but I've stirred up quite a few people interested in tracking balloons in New Delhi. Uh-huh. And they are set up, several of them are set up on APRS and whisper mode to listen for balloons from New Delhi, India. Unfortunately, we went way south where there really is no activity. And we're a little too far north of Thailand where there also is a lot of APRS. And they do high altitude balloons in Thailand. I've seen a number of them fly from Thailand.
I've got one here I want to show you just real quick. And I don't know where it is. It's called, UB3S or something.
U3B-25.
I'm a kid in here. UB, what was it?
U3B-25, I think it is.
UB3-25. Let's see.
I think it's U3B-25.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Dave VE3KCL. So, in fact, he will be at the Dayton Invention at the QRP Labs booth.
All right, help me again here. U3B.
B. B is in Bravo.
Yeah. -25. Let's see if it's Let's see if it's there. Now look at this. This is what we were hoping for. This guy must have the magic touch.
Yeah, there you go.
This guy must have the magic touch. It looks like he's gone around the world there at least maybe 1, 2, 3, probably about 4 times, 5 times.
I believe he's on his third or fourth lap right now.
He's doing good.
He's actually flying 2 $1 balloons. They're made in China. They're clear plastic, just very similar material to the big sushi wrap balloons I told you about. That Scientific Balloon Solutions sells, the big 3 foot by.
So you're saying that's a $1 balloon he's flying?
He has found some, Dave, VE3KCL, has found some balloons that are approximately $1 or $2. You buy them from China. They're completely clear. Unfortunately, they have a little quality control issue, so some have holes in them when you get delivered, and you have to check for bad seams, but he reseals the edges of some of these and pressure tests them. And when he finds some good ones, he flies 2 of them. And this is one of those flight tests of that. I just got a batch of those balloons in, and I'm going to try flight testing them as well. You have to pressurize them, pre-pressurize them, and leak test them first.
So is he using Whisper here?
He is. He's using Whisper.
Okay.
Mode, yes.
All right. So when we finally find some still weather and you have time and we launch, I want Whisper because I'm pulling my hair out looking for this other balloon, man.
I know it.
it's off the map, man. I mean, it's off the radar, you know.
Yeah. The route it took across Central Africa and India, that's a bad route for getting APRS. Now, if it had gone farther north across Europe, Turkey, and even some areas of Russia and Siberia, there's actually some APRS activity. One fellow in, I believe, Krasnoyarsk in Siberia, he has an APRS station, even though there's really no activity, and he fires it up when he hears that a balloon is going to be flying over his area. So we've made some inroads in getting some of the people in those areas where there's little or no activity to listen for these when they're running APRS.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, whisper mode, some areas in that region in Siberia, Mongolia, and parts of India there, there's very little whisper activity as well. So we've gotten some interest, particularly in India, to get some whisper stations online as well.
Well, and you had mentioned, though, that some of these whisper have been heard 7,000 miles away, like in Australia. So you may find some areas where you might not pick it up, but it's going to be a lot better tracking, right?
Oh, yes. There may be a day or two where it's in a really remote area that it won't be heard, or if the band conditions are bad, or sometimes during the weekend there's a teletype contest and it tends to wipe out weak signals a lot. Sometimes you'll see that, but for the most part you get very good coverage with the whisper mode on 20 meters.
Now you've sent me
reception from thousands of miles away, even with a 25 milliwatt transmitter.
Yeah, you sent me two other things here. You want to tell us what this might?
That is the prediction based on the last known spot. That is where I predict it would be today, in that spot between India and Burma. Yeah. That's the flight path prediction I believe it took so far. And then based on that position near India, I did a follow-on prediction to see where it would go from today's position where the star is, and show where it would show up in China, possibly later tonight or tomorrow when it's sunrise there.
Yeah, so...
And if it does follow that route, then it's going to make its way over towards Hawaii and the West Coast in a few days.
So if you look at this map and this thing here you plotted from star to star, there's absolutely zero APRS coverage on the route that we took right there.
Except for Qatar.
Yeah. If we'd gone over Europe, we'd have been
happy. You would have been happy. Europe, yes.
Yeah, it would have been very happy there. They're asking whisper on what frequencies for these. So it's 20 meter whisper, and I guess that changes frequencies.
The most, although 30 meters is also usable. Your antenna is going to be, of course, longer and weigh a little heavier, but and your propagation during daytime hours are not going to be as far. So I found the most efficient band was 20 meters, as far as interference-wise, particularly if you have a contest on 20 meters, 30 meters works pretty well, but your reception is going to be shorter range during the daytime. Now, if you had a battery on this that would survive the minus 40 to minus 50 degree nighttime temperatures, then 30 meters would be the band of choice at nighttime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we'll be seeing you up in Dayton. Be sure and come by the booth. Let's talk about this more. I hope we have an update for the people.
I'll try and get your whisper balloon off the air before Dayton.
Well, I was going to ask that. We're really excited about
some pretty good weather coming up.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have a pretty good opportunity within the next week or two of getting the whisper balloon in the air. And I'd like to have it flying actually during the hamvention.
Yeah. You know, we're really excited about doing it as soon as we can. But we want to be, what is it? We want you to do all the things that you think are right. So I know if the wind's blowing, that's a no-no. So you just pick the best time that you think, and that's all that we can hope for, you know.
We will do that.
And it'll probably go west coast and turn around and come back.
Well, no, that happens in the summertime.
Oh, does it?
We get, we could launch it from Alabama and actually have it go to California in a big loop and come back again in July and August. That could happen. Up until June, it will still probably track off to the east or southeast or northeast, depending on the wind conditions. The jet stream starts getting very variable with big loops up and down, and then tends to die out as we get into July and August.
So I know that you said you can't stay long. Let me just ask another question. how do you, or do you, and I think you do, the next balloon I think you're saying we're going to launch is going to fly at somewhere like 40,000, 41,000 maybe. And is that altitude basically set by using measured things that you do when you launch? In other words, can you just about guarantee it'll fly at a certain altitude based on atmospheric pressure or something, and how much helium or hydrogen you put in a balloon? Can you?
Yes.
Can you? You can pick the altitude, right?
I have a spreadsheet that calculates that all out and estimates the position, I mean, the float altitude based on the weight of the payload and the balloon itself, and including the gas, and the volume of the balloon. And so, that determines where it's going to finally park itself, at what altitude.
So is 40,000, is that the ultimate place you want to be, or is 50 better?
Well, no, 50 and above would be better because you're above virtually all the storms.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, you're also out of the jet stream more, and you would go slower around the world. So there's
yeah.
a fine line between risking storms and still getting a good push from the jet stream. And
yeah.
40 to 43,000 feet, you will still have a pretty good, ride on the jet stream. You're in the upper range of the jet stream, and we're flying basically right in the lower edge of the jet stream, but pretty much right in it at 29 to 30,000 feet. So,
okay,
that's the difference.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you very much for taking time out tonight and talking to us again about this. Keep us posted on the next one. And
absolutely. We'll, hopefully this one will show up in the next day or two over China.
Maybe it will. I'll give it another week. And if it doesn't show up in a week, we'll probably mark it off as lost. Although, it's just like some of these satellites, right? They go off the air for like 25 years, and then all of a sudden you see them again, you know?
Well, you never know. It might surprise us at any point, so.
Yeah, Jeff has got a question. How do you avoid commercial aircraft?
Well, the rules are that the maximum weight you can fly per payload is 6 pounds up to a total limit of 12. And since we're flying 12 grams, we are way, way below that limit. And that was determined, the 6 pound rule is determined as the maximum weight that is safe for an impact to an airplane. And the Weather Bureau flies pretty much pound and a half payloads in 70 plus locations around the United States twice a day. And as far as I know, there's never been a recorded incident of an impact with a jet airplane for the past 60 years. There may have been one or two close calls where they've actually seen it. And there's been some amateur radio ones that actually have photographed jet airplanes passing near them.
Oh, wow.
But the odds of hitting one are very, very, very slow, or very slight.
All right. Well, this is exciting, and it's just a new part of the hobby that I'm fascinated with, and we'll have you on here more as we find this one. It's lost now, and as we get the next one up, we're going to have you on here giving us a blow-by-blow description of what's going on, okay?
All right, and I hope to see you all at the Dayton Hamvention, and please come out to the BalloonSat Forum if you are there on Friday, and if you want any information about Pico balloons or even larger balloons, you can always email me at my call sign, Whiskey Bravo 8 Echo Lima Kilo @gmail.com.
All right. Thank you so much. We will talk to you soon. 73. All right. Hey, that's exciting, man. Hey. It's exciting when you can put something in the air up here and it can circle the earth, man. We may not have done it on ours. Sometimes you get lucky And it stays up for months and months. And sometimes it comes down in 3 days. We don't know where ours is because it went over an area of the world that we don't have APRs tracking. But our next balloon is going to have Whisper on it. That should give us a very good indication of where it is just about any time. So everybody, just stand by a second, and we'll be back with you in just a minute.
Create your own band openings. ICOM's newest SDR transceiver, the IC9700, is coming soon. This new radio is bringing direct sampling to the UHF-VHF weak signal world. The IC9700 is an all-mode transceiver loaded with innovative features such as dedicated amateur satellite operation, color touchscreen, D-Star capability built-in, RF direct sampling on 2 meters and 70 centimeter bands. It has a dual independent receiver capable of full duplex operation as well as dual watch and 100 watts max output on 2 meters, 75 watts on 70 centimeters, and 10 watts on 1.2 gigahertz. Visit www.icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios.
All right. Hey, guys, I've got a little video here I want to show you. It's from the Lee family. The Lee family, all of you guys know, is a whole family of hams, and they've done some great things. And I want to run a little video for you, so let's take a look at this.
Hi, I'm Faith Hanna, Kilo Delta 3 Zulu, and welcome to hamradio.world. We're starting our etiquette video series. And, so the first one is, let's just imagine you just got your technician license and you want to get on the air. How do you start? Well, why not just start on your local repeater? We have our local repeater in here, and we're going to show you how you would get on, because on a repeater, you don't call CQ. You basically just give your call sign and say listening. But before you do that, make sure nobody's talking or nothing going on, because you don't really want to interrupt if somebody else is already having a conversation. So I'm just going to call on the repeater and see if somebody answers. Kilo Delta 3 Zulu listening. And you want to make sure you wait till the beep is done, or the repeater will eventually stop and you'll be cut off. W3CF, hello Doug and good evening.
Hey Faith Hanna, congratulations on your new call sign. That's so cool. A lot more threes down here in Foreland. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's tough to get a 4 pretty much anywhere.
When I first came down here, W4CF was available. And I thought long and hard about it, but I got too many QSO cards printed up and too many people that know me as a W3, so that's how it is. Well, it's nice to hear you this evening. Hope you had a good Easter. We had sumptuous steaks last night, and the family was over. I got to see the grandkids. How about you?
Well, it's nice to hear you had a good Easter, and we had a good Easter as well. We didn't have steaks, but we did have burgers and roast peeps, which are actually really good. KD3Z. And that's how you make a contact on the repeater. Stay tuned for more videos on etiquette in various situations. 73.
Okay, well, that was a cool video. That was Faith Hanna with her new call. And the girls there are putting together a ham radio etiquette. So I guess it's to help other hams. I've been reading on some of the new ham groups on Facebook. People don't even know how to make a contact. You know, they get their license, they buy them a little handy-talky, and they need help. So I think that's a really good a video there to show people how to make a contact. So they're going to be making more videos in that series. And they're looking for, if you have any suggestions of other type videos that need to be made, shoot James Lee an email, WX4TV, and just give him your thoughts on any new videos that would help young hams to get started there and how to operate. All right, hey guys, I want to talk to you about one thing here. I want to talk to you about the CAA 500. We'll be doing, as you know, we're going to be doing our Hamvention Marathon. Let me pull it up. Right there, Hamvention Marathon, 50 hours of live stream, 10 hours up, 10 hours back, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all at Hamvention. So it's going to be a lot going on, a lot of prizes for people. Going to have a lot of fun. Guys, this trip cost us a lot of money, and for many years I was paying for it out of my own pocket. And, of course, I'm retired now. When you're retired, you know, you kind of get stingy. But anyway, we're looking for any help, anybody that can help support this webcast by making a donation of $10, $20, $30. And for each $10 you donate, we're going to put your name in a special drawing for this great Comet CAA 500 antenna analyzer. This thing is, it feels like a brick. It is heavy. It is solid. It goes all the way from 1.8 to 500 megahertz. It'll plot the SWR graphs. It shows all the pertinent information like reactants, the different reactances, of course, the frequency, the SWR, all that. You not only have a analog meter there that will read it, but you also have it on the display down here. So, again, if you can help us with a donation to help pay for the cost of this trip. This trip will cost us, believe it or not, this trip will cost us over $3,000 just to put this webcast on. And you guys who've watched our webcast before know that we don't, you know, we're on solid from the time we get in to the time we close that day. So it's a lot of work, but we like bringing ham radio to you. That's our motto, bringing ham radio to you. So $10 to get you one ticket, $20, two tickets, $33. Hey, you put $1,000 in here, I'll give you a couple free extra tickets, okay? So this is a cool antenna analyzer. I use the thing every day. So on our page, if you go to the donate button at the top menu where it says donate, it'll take you to the PayPal donation page. And it also explains that the special offer is in here for anybody that donates. So please click. PayPal is safe to use, and we'd really appreciate it, whatever you guys can do there. Let's see what else we got going here. Okay. another thing coming up in Memphis. Look at this. This is a special event station from Memphis, Tennessee. It's the Memphis Bicentennial, W4M. It's put on by the Delta Amateur Radio Club. Many of you guys probably don't know this because if you don't live here, but Memphis has a big celebration every May. It's called Memphis in May. And there will be 100,000 people on the river, down in a park at the river. They bring in bands and have music. There's barbecue cook-off contest. All this stuff is happening down on the river for 30 days. And during that time period, during the Memphis in May celebration, the Delta Amateur Radio Club is having a special Memphis Bicentennial station on, and they will have a certificate for an award if you work them. If you go to their QRZ.com site, and I've got the wrong picture, it's QRZ.com, not QRZ.co. But if you go to QRZ and look up W4BS, Bravo Sierra, you'll get more information. They also have, they'll also have All-Star and EchoLink running for you to make contacts that way. So hopefully you guys can make some good contacts. That is during Dayton, but we're going to try to work on from Dayton. We're going to be bringing, we're going to be using our RigPi. We're going to be using our RigPi MFK 1234. This is a new product that MFK has just put on the market. It's just now coming up for sale. It's the software and a lot of the work's been developed by Howard Nurse, W6HN out in California. And there are a number of beta testers that have been testing his code and helping make suggestions and so forth. I have been one of those beta testers. So I've got a unit here. It's hooked to a TS-570, and I have a 80 through 6 meter off-center fed antenna on it. So when we travel to Hamvention, we're going to be on the air on HF. We can get on any HF band from a tablet or from our phone. So this is cool. This thing is so cool, it'll work with any browser. You know, some of these things work with only Droid, some work only with Windows, some won't work with Apple. This thing will work with any browser, whether it's Apple operating system or Droid or Linux or Windows. As long as you have a browser, you can use this RigPi. And it's got logging in it. It's got logging built in. It's got spots built in it, DX spots. Let's see, what else has it got? It's got a lot of stuff in here. I think MFK is starting to advertise it now. Again, it's a new product. Really none have been sold yet, but it's going on the market right now. So this is going to control just about any type modern radio. If you have a USB port or a serial port on your radio, this will control your radio, and it gives you control of everything from frequency to just, you know, every button on there. So hopefully we'll be working with some of you guys. And you may have noticed my voice is still not well yet, but it's working a little better tonight. So we'll be using the RigPi for HF. In addition to streaming our drive live, and we're going to take the DV Mega. I've shown that on the show, the DV Mega Cast. That's the little IP radio that will do D-Star, DMR, R Fusion. It's an IP radio, no antenna. We'll put that in a truck, and we'll probably be working DMR as we go up there too. So we hope to have a lot of activity going on during our trip. There'll be a lot of communications with the truck. We've got our own DMR talk group. Amateur Radio Roundtable has been assigned a talk group from Brandmeister of 31693. So if you've got DMR, you ought to get on this. There's a few of us on here now that have set that up. I'm going to start monitoring a little bit more. So 31693 is our DMR. It's Amateur Radio Roundtable Talk Group, so we'll probably be on that some too. And let's see what else I got. Riley didn't show tonight. I'm not sure what happened to Riley. He was going to talk a little about the volunteer enforcement program that has just been launched. Maybe we'll have him on next week. So that's probably about it. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. Since it's a little early, I'm going to open the phone lines, and we'll take a few phone calls. So let me put the phone number up there. Let's see if that one's good or if that's better. Not sure which one's better. I will go with that one. Okay, that will probably work right there. So that's our phone number. Let's see if this thing's working. We're still validating. The phone line's not open yet. But it's trying to. Okay, here we go. Okay. All right, so
there is one host in this conference.
One, okay. All right, so there's a phone number. If you guys want to call, 712-775-7270. You have to put that code in here, 407051 pound sign. We have numbers. We have numbers everywhere in the world. We've got numbers in 65 countries on our new phone system. So if you're in a different country, if you're in Australia or if you're in the UK, on our website, go up to contact on our website, click on contact, and over on the left side, you'll see call into the show, and you can click on international numbers, and it'll bring up your numbers for places like Italy, Japan, Finland, Croatia, Brazil, anywhere you are. So we can take international calls too. All right, we're going to stick around a little while. My voice held out fair tonight. I think it's getting a little better. You can hear the music. The music means nobody's calling in. Still nobody. How about Faith Hannah? Faith Hannah, are you there? Or have you gone to bed yet? I know it's late. It's late on the East Coast. Faith Hannah, call us. Call us on the phone. The music would put you to sleep on it. Well, guys, we're so excited about our balloon launch. We're excited about the Dayton trip coming up. We're going to be in Building 2. If you get up to Dayton, be sure to come into Building 2 and find us there. I think I told you last week, our friend astronaut Doug Wheelock is going to be with us. This will be the seventh year Doug has been with us. He's coming in just to be with us at Hamvention. So he really made a lot of contacts while he was the commander of the International Space Station. And we'll be happy to see him again. And let's see. Say goodnight. Okay. My producer here is saying I need to say goodnight. Trying to take care of my throat, I guess, my voice. Well, I gave you guys a chance on the phone. Nobody called in. So we're going to kill that. And we're going to close the show. This is just a one-hour show tonight. Hopefully next week it'll be a little bit longer. Of course, sometimes an hour and a half show is a little long and people don't want to stick around that long. Sammy Threes, if there's anybody new in the chat room, first time tonight, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email to tom@w5kub, and we'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening on shortwave, send us an email, tom@w5kub.com. Tell us where you are, and we'd love to hear from you. So 73s, good night to everybody, and we will See you soon.
So you're saying I can ask this cat any question?
The cat is connected to the computer. You just type in the question, it will read his mind. There the answer comes.
You're the man! I've been looking for this for weeks.